time to say good morning to Lee Whitworth, who's from A&E Harmonious Training, based up towards... Are you actually in Leyburn, Lee, or are you nearby?
We're based in Richmond.
Oh, right.
The whole of the north of England.
So this morning, I think I'll start with your own question and throw it at you. What's a defibrillator? What's a defib?
So a defibrillator or an AED, automatic external defibrillator, is a piece of equipment that anybody can pick up, turn it on and follow the instructions. And by this piece of equipment can then assess the casualty's heart and decide whether that casualty does or does not need a shock.
So the machine actually helps you to assess whether they need it or not. It doesn't just deliver it. It's a tool to work out if there's a problem.
Yeah, it doesn't help you assess it. It does everything for you. So it assesses what the heartbeat is doing. So when you go into cardiac arrest, you're generally going to do one of several things. So the heart is going to be beating normally, but the casualty stopped breathing. Or you're going to go into what we call ventricular tachycardia, or VT, as you might hear it, which means the heart is beating abnormally fast. And after a while, the heart then goes into ventricular fibrillation, or VF, which means the two of the chambers, normally the bottom two chambers, have just started to flicker now. They are shockable rhythms. So if it's in VT or VF, it's a shockable rhythm. The defib would shock the heart and hopefully put it back into what we call a normal cyanosis rhythm.
I heard someone say it's the heart behaves like a jelly in this situation. It's sort of wobbling and vibrating. And
yeah, so when the heart drops into ventricular fibrillation, that's the bottom chambers. So, I mean, I know the radio people can't see it, but you can see it. The heart's pumping normally.
Yeah.
And then this is that, and the heart's still trying to beat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not a bad explanation, that.
So you need to bring it back to normal rhythm, and this device, if needed, delivers a shock that helps reset the rhythm.
Yes. So if the machine deems that a rhythm is shockable, it will shock. If not, it will say no shock available and tell you just to continue doing CPR.
Yeah.
And if the casualty is still not breathing, you would continue doing CPR.
And that's really important, because this device is actually wiser than you. So it's saying, actually, this patient doesn't need this, probably cause more harm. I'm not going to let you do it.
So it's going to shock if needed. So if I got my defib now and placed it on you, it should hopefully say no shock required.
I don't believe you, not at all. Anyway, not in my case. So these machines, the point I'm trying to get to is they are quite foolproof in their operation, because they actually assess the patient and they will only administer the shock if they deem it's appropriate.
Yeah, they are completely foolproof. All you've got to do as a bystander is turn it on.
Yeah.
Once you've turned it on, it will tell you everything else to do.
Does it actually speak? Does it speak?
Yes, they do speak, and some of them have pictures as well.
Right.
Now, as a first aid trainer, obviously I'm going to tell you you're best to get trained, and the reason we say that is that will then give you the confidence to use it better. However, the machines are actually designed for anybody to be able to pick up, turn on, and follow the simple instructions.
I think a lot of people, and the reason I went right back to the beginning there and asked you what is it, is I think a lot of people are oblivious.
People are scared of it.
Yeah. They're either scared of it or they're oblivious. They have no idea what it is.
And there's
a question that you ask, isn't there? Which is,
yeah,
where is your nearest defib? Where is it?
Yeah. People don't know where their nearest defib is. And what you've got to consider is when you or your family member goes into cardiac arrest, you know, there's going to be a state of shock, not just for you, the casualty suffering, but for the family members as well. So you're going to be panicking. If you already know where your nearest defib is, that is a fighting chance. Now, when you're in 999, if there is a registered public defib near you, they will tell you where it is.
Right.
However,
that's a situation where you've got to cross your fingers that there's one nearby you.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it, I'll use Richmond as an example. So we've just started a thing called the Heart of Richmond, where we're going to try and raise some money and get some more defibs. And the reason being is I live on a estate called Whitefields Estate, which is near SFX School. Now, SFX School has a defib. only available in school time.
Right.
Richmond School's got 3 DFIBs, only available in school time. The nearest DFIB to Whitefields Estate is actually on the side of Greyfriars Nursing Home, which is nearly a mile from my house.
Wow. Yeah, and that brings back to another point, which is the time window that you've got available to you, which is not big, is it?
Now, we want a DFIB on a casualty within 4.5 to 5 minutes maximum.
Yeah.
The quicker, the better. So you need to be able to get to the DFIB, open the box, which has a combination lock on it, which we can talk about in a minute, and then back to the casualty and then get the DFIB on the casualty. So we're trying to raise money in Richmond originally, but eventually we're hopefully going to push it out across the Dales to get more DFIBs to support people in the rural communities.
And where should they be? Where should we find them? That's, I mean, I know they're not all there at the moment, but where, you know, ideally, where should they be placed?
So ideally, they need to be everywhere. So when I started up the business, I purchased one and carry it in my car. So anywhere I am as a qualified first aider, I can stop and help somebody. And ideally, they need to be everywhere. And now, when I talk on first aid courses, I mention the fact that it is by law that every public building must have a fire extinguisher in it. And there's only 40,000 building fires a year in the UK.
Mm.
There is 100,000 cardiac arrests in the UK. So why is not every public building by law have to have a DFIB in it? So what we're trying to do with the Heart of Richmond is we're trying to raise money to put DFIBs in the estates. Because at the moment, they're generally on the outside of a building, a shop, a post office, a town hall, a pub, because we need electricity supply into the DFIB box, which has a little heater that stops the DFIB freezing.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the possibility of putting DFIBs on lampposts within housing estates. So, for example, my nearest shop is 100 yards away, no problem. However, my estate, to get to the bottom of my estate at Whitefield, again, is nearly a mile. So for me, I want a DFIB halfway down the estate.
Yeah.
So it generates both people can then travel to that DFIB.
And out of interest and just approximately, what are we talking expense-wise for each unit?
So this is where people go, wow. So you can get a machine for about £850 plus VAT.
Yeah.
All the way up to thousands. The machine I highly recommend is a machine called an iPad SP1, which retails at about £1,300. However, what you've got to consider is £1,300 is a weekend away or 20 years with your family.
Yeah.
Because that could give you more life. Now, I always explain a DFIB on a training course. It's like a car. So if I was to borrow your car, there's a set of keys that will open the door, start the engine, there's a steering wheel, there's pedals, there's a gear shift, and there's a handbrake. And the DFIBs are exactly the same. There's an on and off button, there's a set of pads, and there's a battery. The difference is, depending what car you've got, you might have automatic wind wipers, automatic wipers. And with a DFIB, there is different things. Now, the iPad SP1, it has one set of pads, and it has a switch from adult to child.
Right.
Some of the other
things,
you need a set of adult pads and a set of child pads.
Yeah.
That's more expense and more things to think about when the worst happens.
And absolutely the worst. So how are you going about raising the money? What are you going to do?
So at the moment, we are literally in our infancy. And what I'm doing is I'm aiming for, obviously, the estate I live on and a lady called Lou, who runs Neeps and Tatties Greengrocers in Richmond, who lives on the next estate. We're going to try and raise some money to get some on our estates. And if it works, we're then going to push it out across Richmond and hopefully further into the Dales, because both our companies work across the Dales. So we're going to actually put a letter and a leaflet through every door on the estate and ask for a small £5 donation. And if you consider, on my estate alone, if every house gave a fiver, I reckon we could put 2 DFIBs on the estate.
Right. Yeah, okay. So, this is something you don't need until you need it. But, you know, when you need it quick. So it's not something you can wait 3 days for a delivery on or whatever it's going to be. It needs to be available and in the community somewhere.
Yeah, so a DFIB for me is like an insurance policy.
Yeah.
You know, you pay for it, you hope you never need it, but it's there if you need it.
Yeah. And that one in your car, how many times have you had to use it?
I'm very lucky. I've carried that defib in my car for 4 years so far, and it's never been used.
Yeah, yeah. But the moment however, it's not there, you're not fake like.
I'm also a Richmond community first responder for the NHS. So I'm a volunteer responder for the NHS. And obviously I carry one of their defibs with me and that, when I'm on duty, and that gets used.
Yeah.
But my own personal defib, thankfully, has sat there, and I've stopped at about 7 road collisions in the last 2 years. And I've stopped at the roadside for people that have fallen and slipped, but thankfully the defib's not been needed.
Well, that's good news, Lee. I just want to say, would you come back when you're a little bit further down the road and give us an update of how you're getting on?
We'll come and talk to you anytime. All I ask people is, where is your nearest defib?
Yeah,
and where is your nearest? There is a cracking app out there called Good Sam, and that has got Yorkshire Ambulance Service are taking it on board. And Good Sam, you can find your nearest defibber, your nearest defib, sorry. And also, if you've got any registered first aiders that are logged on that web on that app, you can also find them and you can buzz them for help. It's a great app, and we just want to save people's lives.
Lee Whitworth is with A&E Harmonious Training. If people want to contact you after this interview, Lee, how can they do that?
So you can get us on our website, which is all the W's, and it's aetraining999.co.uk.